The real political anger that we saw in farmers' protests across Europe has resulted this week in policy changes that are, depending on your point of view, being claimed as a victory for farmers and common sense or an undermining of the EU's Green New Deal. The Commission has proposed making farms across Europe smaller than 10 hectares, 22 acres, exempt from CAP inspections and payment penalties. This here could impact up to 28,000 mostly beef and sheep farmers in the west of the country. Natasha Foote is a freelance journalist specialising in EU agri-food policy, joining me on the line now from Brussels. Good morning, Natasha.
Good morning, Philip.
This is a pretty big move by EU standards that has been made very quickly. Why has it happened?
Yeah, indeed. I mean, as you mentioned there, you know, we're very aware the farmers have been taking to the streets in protest since the beginning of this year. They've been increasingly dominating headlines, but also increasingly the political agenda. So there's a multitude of reasons behind these protests. It's mainly around fair remuneration, issues to do with trade, but also about the administrative burden on farmers. So on the back of this, the Commission came forward with these proposals, as you mentioned. The idea is to help address farmers' concerns and ease their burdens. So one of these is this simplification package. It's designed to lighten the administrative load on farmers. There's also another reflection paper on improving the farmers' position in the food chain. But as you said, this is a pretty big move because this simplification proposal paves the way for a reopening of the legal acts of the EU's farming subsidy programme, the CAP, which would see mandatory environmental requirements downgraded to voluntary, for example, and a number of other proposals, as you mentioned.
Will it lighten the administrative load of farmers, or will it hollow out the Green New Deal and the environmental measures, as some environmental NGOs are saying? Or can we know at all in the absence of any kind of an impact assessment?
Absolutely. That's the thing. I mean, the stated aim is reducing the administrative burden, but it's hard to say as there's been no impact assessment. So this is justified because of the urgency of the situation, because of the crisis situation in the sector, although there's no details offered on what this constitutes. But there has been no impact assessment, so it's very difficult to say. And instead, there was a kind of ad hoc one-week consultation. There was some written correspondence with four main EU farming groups. And this has sparked quite an outrage because it is a big policy shift. I mean, most significantly, the proposal does shift the power balance in favour of member states. It grants them greater power to allow further exemptions to green measures in the future. So, you know, green groups are calling for an external audit of the Commission's conduct here. And remember, this is a policy we've discussed, you know, been under discussion for 3, maybe 4 years, which has been changed, you know, in a week. So,
lifting CAP inspections does sound dramatic, Natasha, but there is some doubt if that many farms are actually going to have been inspected in the first place.
Yeah, it's difficult to say, as I said, because there's no impact assessment. But there were some numbers that I was looking at the data which said that, you know, only maybe 1% of farms are really subject to farm checks anyway. And so the question is, you know, how many is really going to impact it? You know, it's not really clear. There was a bit of a mixed bag of reactions, as you mentioned. I mean, for the EU Farmers Association, Copacajeka, they said the conditions are too rigid, it doesn't reflect the reality on the ground. But, you know, not everyone's happy. I mean, for example, IFOAM, you'd think it might benefit maybe organic farmers, but IFOAM, which is the EU Organics Association, they called this simplification without vision. Green campaigners are saying it's catastrophic. It comes on the back of some warnings from the European Environmental Agency, which published a climate risk assessment, first of its kind, in the same week as the announcement. Okay. It's a mixed bag. And the small farmers as well, they say, you know, this is not really addressing the core of the problem for them. It's not really addressing the systemic issues, the reason that they're taking to the streets. As I mentioned, the fair remuneration and the trade. So they don't see it as a win for them either.
Separately, and before I let you go, Natasha, the highly contested nature restoration law has taken another dramatic turn just when it looked in danger of fading from the headlines. What's
Indeed.
Happened?
No fear of it fading anytime soon. Yes, the notorious nature restoration law. So just as a reminder, this is aiming to reverse the decline of Europe's nature, has an ambition to restore 20% of the EU's land and sea by areas by 2030, and then, you know, gradually move up to full health by 2050. A landmark text of the European Green Deal, but extremely contentious, as we said. It's been a very rocky road to this point. It survived various lobbying attempts to kill it along the way. It moved all the way through what we call trilogue, so the institutional, inter-institutional negotiations. So it got all the way through to a compromise, and at this point needs a kind of a green light and a tick from both lawmakers, so from the Parliament and the Council. It won the tick from the Parliament back in February, and was due to have a vote, a technical vote yesterday, and then be officially have the green light on Monday with a meeting of EU environmental ministers. But actually, so normally this is a mere formality. You know, it's been discussed to death, multiple rounds of technical discussions. But this time it's actually proved very contentious because a number of member states came out and said they couldn't support the text or they would abstain from the vote. And collectively, that would mean there was not going to be enough of a majority okay. to pass the law, which means that the vote has now been postponed, pushed somewhere in the future. There's no details on when that will be, just later notice. So it was taken off the agenda for Monday.
Just very briefly, who are the countries that have indicated that if they were asked to vote, that they would vote against it?
Yes, there's Italy, Netherlands, Sweden, Poland, Finland and Hungary. I hope I've got them all there. And a few abstentions, so Belgium and Austria okay. are also abstaining.
All right, Natasha Foote in Brussels, thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us this morning.